and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Trubisky throwing. It's the old Stanford band play. Back at the 4-yard line. Into the end zone it goes, and the Browns are going to recover there. Denzel Ward. That's going to be a touchdown. There's no extra point, but that may be meaningful to some of you. And you know who I mean.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Friday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock the next 4 hours. We've got you. Rainy, cold, fall day. Interesting.
Some of us would call it beautiful.
I'll take this over a 100-degree Monday.
I'll take this over an 85-degree Monday.
Oh, I agree.
I think that's where I'm at.
I can do without the rain, except for, you know, the grass and the plants and things like that. But the weather, how nice it is, where you can just throw on a hoodie and call it a day. Love it. I mean, that's Beard's dream. Beard's dream is to live in a climate where it requires constantly hoodies and shorts. The combo of hoodies with shorts on.
Aesthetically, I think you're right, but I don't think I've ever seen Beard's calves in my life. He and I have done a lot of radio, a lot of life together.
They're fine. I'd just rather do jeans.
I think he is a hoodie and jeans is the if anybody wants to go as Beards McFly for Halloween this year.
Shorts are good.
Backwards hat, hoodie, jeans.
Shorts are good. Not a big deal.
One pair of shoes that you've worn for like 10 straight months.
Yeah.
And then get a fresh pair at 12. These are things I've learned about Beards over the years.
Fresh pair.
Man's got an aesthetic.
All right, 913-912-4810, 913-912-4810. A lot of stuff to get into today and talk about. Chiefs and Colts coming up on Sunday. Big college football weekend ahead with big games for all three of the schools, with K-State traveling to Norman to take on Oklahoma, Mizzou traveling down to Auburn to take on the Tigers, and KU playing at home in what is probably the most anticipated home game since insert fun home game here, probably a decade ago. I'm not sure the last time there has been this much excitement and optimism and enthusiasm and buildup to a football game at KU in a long, long time. And we will get an idea of Lance Leipold and his team and handling success. How do you go and how do you handle success? That's a big one, a big question now for this this KU team sitting 3-0 and getting ready to face off against a Duke team that is also 3-0 in a line that has gone from essentially double digits now down to 7. It's continued to move in Duke's favor. So there are some non-believers with the money coming in, some sharps, they're non-believers and saying, yeah, Duke's a pretty good team too. I'll take them plus the points and think that this game's going to be close. KU may win, but I'll take the points, especially when it was 9.5 at one point. So that's going to be an interesting game. K-State in Norman is certainly going to be an interesting game. How much was last week just a letdown, laying an egg, a trap game? You dominate an old rival in Mizzou, and you're looking ahead to Norman a week later. And in between, you've got a well-coached, disciplined Tulane team that you're two touchdown favorites against. Are you going to show up and bring the same energy and excitement that you did against Mizzou that you probably are going to do against Oklahoma? Obviously not. And they needed better play from their quarterback. They needed him to be a little more dynamic. He was not. He absolutely has to be that tomorrow. There is no way around that this is a game tomorrow for Kansas State that they need a quarterback to go and make plays. They need a guy like a Colin Klein that went and made plays, a Skylar Thompson that made plays, a Jake Waters that made plays. Adrian Martinez is going to have to be that and not just simply rely on Deuce Vaughn and Giddens and hope that those guys and you know, special teams, punt return and punt blocks and things like that to work in your favor. They need a quarterback to make plays, because I guarantee you that the Oklahoma quarterback and Dylan Gabriel is going to make some plays. It's what he does. It's what he's done throughout his career at UCF, and it's what he did against Nebraska. Obviously, K-State different than Nebraska, but he has been making plays, and that's a legit defense now in Oklahoma. So that's going to be a fun one tomorrow as well at 7 o'clock. That's the Big Fox that game is on. And then Mizzou and Auburn, the battle of the Tigers. Who's the better Tiger? Who's the worst Tiger? I'm not sure. So it's 11 o'clock tomorrow morning on ESPN, and should let you know that KU Houston, 9:30 right here on Sports Radio 810 tomorrow morning. A full half hour of College Game Day with Stan Weber and Danny Clinksio.
That'll be one full question for Stan.
How do they fit a two-hour show into a half hour? That's my nightmare. This is my nightmare.
That's true.
That's my nightmare. Usually have 2 hours. Here's a half hour. I've turned into the Micro Machine guy. Soccer style kicker, graduated Collier County, 1982, holds two records, one for longest field goal in Detroit, one for most points in a season, and one hell of a model American. You don't get that reference, but that's okay.
No, that's all right. I was going to talk about how much I like College Game Day with Danny and Stan. I ran that show.
Stanny and Dan.
With Stanny. We should start calling him Stanny.
Stanny and Dan.
Stanny Webscale.
I like that.
Stanny, oh, nope, Stanny Clinker.
I think I like that even better.
I do too.
Stanny Clinker.
Just a fun show. I ran that show for a long time in the Saturday morning slot, and even if you can only get 30 minutes of Stanny Clinker, it's a good way to start your Saturday.
I have been a part of that show as well. We both have lived lives here at the station.
I thought you might.
Yes, I was in charge of producing the whole thing. Not producing as in setting up the interviews, because that was Stan and Danny, or Stanny.
That was the same.
They would do that, but I was in charge of then scheduling the recordings, recording it, make sure it was good to go, because typically you're not going to talk to a coach an hour before they kick off.
Sure.
So you probably talk to that guy the day before or a couple of days before. And so I was in charge of scheduling, or, you know, making sure all those things were scheduled. The taping was okay. Stan and Danny, Stanny could be there and get it done, making the phone calls, recording, making sure it was good, then putting it into the system, and then, you know, formatting the show for them. A lot of it was they were doing the heavy lifting, but it was still, hey, if anything goes wrong, it's your fault.
Sure. Well, that's, okay. You know, that's how that goes sometimes.
All right. Sounds good. But I also got to sit there and listen to coaches talk.
Do you ever have a coach give you a hard time in the scheduling process? Just be rude on the phone or anything?
No, because it was the scheduling was Danny and Stan. They were the ones that were scheduling.
Okay,
so it was a lot through Stanny.
Right.
Stan was doing, especially when they were playing that opponent that week, whoever
sure.
it might be.
Sure.
So they did a lot of that. The coaches were really gracious. And it was kind of cool from time to time, before we started recording, coach conversation with mm-hmm. Stan and Danny. That was really interesting and sometimes illuminating. It's like, oh, this is some inside stuff that you don't typically get. I can't wait to now go to Twitter since I don't even have a Twitter account at that point.
Since it's definitely been invented by now, for sure.
So
certainly.
Pumped to go to this Twitter.
I can go to this little bird site and tell all the people about all these cool things that...
I'm going to run to MySpace and tell everybody about what's going on. And immediately when you go to my page, I'm going to change my my song that plays when you go there and put some more videos up and change my top 10 friends.
My top eight friends are actually just big eight teams, because there's only eight teams because I'm very old.
That's right. That's tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and then KU 9:30 with the pregame and kickoff at 11 o'clock. But Mizzou and Auburn. Mizzou is a 7-point dog down in Auburn. And I ain't saying it's a must-win for Eli, because, come on, going to Auburn and saying it's a must-win is ridiculous, because no matter how good or bad an Auburn team is, you're still going on the road in the SEC against a team like Auburn. But if it's true, like Braden Gall said on Tuesday, that the feeling around there is that this team has quit, that they are just playing out the string with Harsin, and he's already been fired and wants to get the Arizona State job, and is just sort of waiting for the end, and Mizzou can ultimately pull the plug on the Harsin era down in Auburn. And if that's the case, and it's an Auburn team that's like, oh great, Mizzou that got ran by K-State, a Mizzou team that looked generic against Abilene Christian, yeah, this is the one we really rally the troops for our head coach. We really get going against this one. This inferior school that doesn't belong in the SEC. If Mizzou goes down there and gets beat pretty good, that's going to be the fire on the stove the gas being turned up even more, and that seat starting to get red underneath Eli Drinkwitz. So this is a big game tomorrow for Mizzou and Eli Drinkwitz, and we'll find out what they do. If they win, they win. I'm not going to make an excuse or poo-poo or dismiss Mizzou going down to Auburn and winning. I'm not going to do that.
You shouldn't. I think to your point, I don't know if it's a must win because I don't know if anything changes if they lose, but it's a seat warmer. It is absolutely a seat warmer game. We talked about this on Sound Off on Sunday.
Can we call it like a seat heater?
This is a seat heater game for sure.
I like that.
You got the little seat heater buttons. We're really getting the portmanteaus and the rhyming and all of the alliteration today. This has been great so far. Big day for Stanny Klinker and his seat heat. But it was posed on Sound, I think it was one of the Twitter questions, you know. It was like, hey, are Kleiman or Drinkwitz going to get fired before the end of the season? And I went, well, no.
I watched the Sunday Sound Off. I laughed like you did.
I certainly hope not. Because if they do, it means something horrible has happened on campus. Like, it means that something else. This is not a harm being done to the state of the program situation. Eli Drinkwitz might be that he didn't have enough juice for this program to fully revitalize it and make it a real SEC powerhouse or whatever. I'm guessing if he doesn't do it, a few guys after him are also not going to do it on their first swing through. But I think all Mizzou, and you'll know this better than I because you're in
maybe.
It. I think all Mizzou fans really want right now is something to believe in. Like, just something
I
to grab
something
onto.
Something to believe in.
I was going to do a different song called Something to Believe In. That's a generational thing.
Okay.
That's okay. We're covering the gamut. I hope there is a glimmer. Watching Luther Burden be relevant in a basically a spring game in week one, Mizzou was revitalized. Mizzou Twitter was on a different level. It's just been very sad since then.
And then watching him touch the ball three times against K-State.
It got much sadder.
Yeah. I think this should be like a going out of your way to make sure number three is involved in the offense and not just sort of a decoy that, well, we can't seem to get him the ball. Then snap it directly to him. And if the center can't do that and somehow it slips out of his hand, even when you're trying to be in the Wildcat and snap it right to him, then get a new center. Then have him go under center. Touch the ball. He need put the ball in his hands, let him go. Punt return last week, boom, touchdown. Make sure he touches the ball as often as possible. So we'll see. It's a fun slate of football tomorrow, and there will be a lot to discuss on Monday. Mainly Chiefs, much to the chagrin probably of college football fans, but sort of depends on what happens. But then, you know, we'll talk about whatever the bigger stories are on Monday, and that includes Chiefs and Colts, which is a big one coming up on noon or on Sunday at noon. And that is, you know, it's one of those games. We'll talk with Kendall Gammon coming up at noon to set up the show for you, and then Matt Derrick in the 11 o'clock hour. But one of the things I'm curious to ask Kendall Gammon about is, in college, I think it exists where there's a look ahead or a trap game or things like that. I think that exists in college because you don't have the way the NFL is set up. You have a disparity in terms of talent. You do have teams that may look at it, and you've got younger individuals. All right, these aren't professionals, even though they're making a little more money. They don't know about the every single week of what it takes. This is your livelihood. This is your job is on the line to go out there and make sure you do your job well. Because if not, the team may win or lose, but you can still get cut. They can still move on from you if you do not do your job. And now what are you doing at that point with whatever career you might go into? But I do wonder, from someone who's played the game for a long time, do trap games, do look-ahead games exist in the NFL? Because if they do, this would be one of them. This would be a game to where it's the Colts are at home. They are, Kevin Harlan always said, and I've kept it in the back of my mind, when he said, look at the NFL. Give me the team that is the obviously most desperate team. That's the team I think that's going to win that game. There is one team on Sunday that will take the field at noon in Indianapolis that is the more desperate team, that is desperate to save their season, and that's the Colts. The Chiefs got by a Chargers team in which, you know, the Chargers are good. They found a way to win. Did they play great? No. They're a better team than the Colts, but it's the NFL. It's the any given Sunday, and if the Colts are putting everything they have into this game to say this is what can turn our entire season around, or it can continue to have us be in a tailspin, yeah, that's a worrisome game, especially with Tampa. the next week. That when you're going against a, and I do believe to a degree that a number of these NFL players don't actually look at who the next opponent is. And I believe that based on the Manning cast last year when Kelsey was on it, and or maybe 2 years ago. I don't know how many years have they been doing the Manning cast. Last year was the first year.
Yep.
And he said something about like, oh, you know, the Raiders this weekend or something. And they were like, well, no, you don't have the Raiders. Well, we don't? He's like, no, the Chargers. He's like, I don't know, whoever we play this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, because he had the day off. They had played the day before. You got the day off that day. And then you get into film study and stuff like that.
You're so specifically preparing for one opponent.
Right.
It doesn't do you any good. Now, some of the coaches said even this year, they would start preparing for the Chargers during their little, their preseason bye week, if you will. If you're a player preparing for the guy across from you, hell, if you're trying to prepare for whoever's playing center for the Bucks right now, that could be different next week, and now you've fleshed a little bit of prep. So I do think there's something to that.
Yeah, so we'll talk with Kendall to see if there is something.
Ask Kendall if there really is the idea of, hey, do you know who's coming up in week 5, 6, and 7?
Absolutely. I ask that, and then, like, is there a trap game, or is there just, it's the NFL. Like, I 100% believe that K-State Tulane, if K-State showed up the way they did against Mizzou, against Tulane. Nothing against Willie Fritz. Nothing against what, you know, they were able to do, Tulane, and how, you know, well-coached and talented of a team that is. K-State's better. They're the better team. And if they showed up against Tulane like they did against Mizzou, I think they win and they cover. But they didn't and they didn't. So that's life in football when you get one chance against a team. It's not baseball. You don't have a three-game series. You don't lose the first one and still get a chance to win the next two and take the series. You get one shot. They don't get to play Tulane again this year to prove that they're better. They don't. And so I think that happens in college. I'm not sure if it happens in the NFL. 913-912-4810 is the text line to join the show. We also may, you know, get into a little bit more Royals with John Sherman as well in this. But are there – we'll take a break and we'll continue rolling. But on the other side – I'll ask this and then we'll lead into the other side. Are there specific storylines outside of, is this a trap game? What do the Chiefs look like against the Colts that you're watching and thinking about for Sunday?
Here's my tease, Jason.
Oh.
Hell yeah, there are.
We'll hear those next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Absolutely nothing we've been talking about in the first hour.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up in about 10, 15 minutes from now, Lee Sterling and Todd Lebo will hang out. They'll get you set for the weekend of football, college, and the NFL. And we'll see what Lee thinks of the Chiefs and Colts, because the Sharps are on the Colts. That's where it's kind of interesting of a trap game type deal, because Fat Jack yesterday, I don't know about Lee. I'm guessing Lee Sterling will take Colts plus the points, because that seems to be what Vegas is doing, because all of the public money is on the Chiefs. It's rolling in on the Chiefs. Like 85, 90% of the money is on the Chiefs. Yet the line has gone down. Why? Because Vegas is saying, oh, yeah, keep throwing money on the Chiefs. And the Sharps are going, yeah, keep throwing money on the Chiefs, because, you know, I'll keep getting the Colts. So, yeah, let's do that. 913-912-4810 is the text line. Let's talk some football here. The Athletic Football Show, a really good podcast. And I appreciate that Josh listens all the time, because sometimes I don't get a chance to listen and I enjoy it and you find some clips from it.
It's so good.
And we love having Deontay Lee on the show as well, even though he is not responding to Beards. Not sure why that is.
Sometimes you bring out the big guns.
Immediately to, should we have Corey text him?
Yeah, see if Corey wants to do it. Yeah, let's see if Corey's busy.
Because for whatever reason, he is ignoring Beards.
Yeah.
But we love having him on. It's great. But he's on the Athletic Football Show, and it's really good stuff. And look, there's a lot of things going into this game this weekend, and the Indy offense has an awesome running back, has an issue at left tackle, a bad issue at left tackle. They have injured wide receivers, where Alec Pierce is going to play this weekend because he had the concussion, but he's been full participant. Michael Pittman, they said they still don't know, but why is he talking yesterday to the media?
Yep.
As the player availability is Michael Pittman and Shaq Leonard were the players available yesterday. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense if neither of them are going to play. I'm counting on them playing. But is this just Deontay Lee weighing in? Or
yeah, so this is kind of in the back half of this most recent episode, or the Week 3 preview episode. There is legit like 20 minutes of Chiefs-Colts stuff in here that's worth your time if you're looking for more long form. But yeah, there are a couple of clips here from Deontay Lee. This first one is specifically looking at what Indy did wrong last week, where they've struggled so far in this Matt Ryan era, and what Steve Spagnuolo ought to be doing this weekend.
Indy seemed to really struggle against five-man pressures in cover two. Well, guess what you're about to get on Sunday? You know, so that was like my biggest thing, and I wanted to go and look at the stats. So the Colts were 23rd in air yards per attempt versus five-man rushes, 16th in EPA per attempt, 18th in EPA per drop pack versus cover two, 22nd in air yards per attempt in cover two. So I'm talking about not necessarily worst in the league, right? No. But when it comes to the money that you spend on offensive line, to your point, Robert, and then when you talk about the investment you make in bringing in a veteran quarterback, it's to do two things: to make sure that your quarterback is always upright and that you have a quarterback that can handle being blitzed and being shown different coverage pictures. So if that's what you're struggling against, then what's left for this offense? It's Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, which is fine when you're in game situations where you can actually get them the ball. So the criticism, I think, that people left the last game with, which, you know, everybody likes to look at a box score at the end and say, oh, well, our superstar running back only got this many carries. What happened to this? And it's a game flow issue, but it's a game flow issue because of the things that we mentioned, right? It's because you're in second and nine, and now you can get exotic looks, which the Jaguars didn't need a ton of because they were just able to pin their ears back. Well, now you're going to be seeing the exotic look guy in Steve Spagnuolo.
Right.
That's kind of the thing that I'm really, really concerned about, is because they don't create a lot after the catch, you're having trouble picking things up in protection, and you have a guy that's an older veteran in Matt Ryan that's not going to be able to just beat coverage with the quality of his throws anymore. And that's really not what you should be asking a guy of his age and experience to do anyways. I don't know where this leaves this offense. And that's before we even get into all the different things the Spags can do defensively.
One thing that even preceded that clip was them talking about how last week the Jags, who shut the Colts out, by the way, the Jacksonville Jaguars shut the Colts out last week. They just had that offensive line in absolute hell, just running stunts and twists.
Yeah.
Nothing, because the pitch to Deontay there from, I don't remember if it was Robert Mays or Nate Tice that kind of threw him the question, probably Robert, it wasn't, hey, how are they going to just push five all the time? It was actually, the Jags didn't have to blitz very much. Teams do not have to blitz the Colts to give them issues all up front. They just have to put any motion out there. So, trap game, why is the sharp money on the Colts? Is this something that could end up biting the Chiefs? Here's the promise I will make to you. If we come back in here on Monday and the Chiefs did not thoroughly handle this game, I will open my thoughts with something negative. Because, look, I don't care if they win by 10 or 30. I don't care if it's 30 to 10. I don't care if it's 55 to, I guess I would care if it was 55 to 45 or something. That I would care about. The Colts have looked like a absolute disaster this year. Just great teams need to keep disasters looking like disasters. That is the mission statement for the Chiefs this weekend. Just keep down teams down. And I think they are very well equipped to do that, specifically defensively.
So the twist and the stunts, I mean, Cynthia talked about that as well, that they are really bad against that. Craig Stout mentioned that yesterday as well, that he was like, hey, same wavelength, that they are awful against that. And their left tackle is awful. I mean, he was right tackle last year with Eric Fisher at left tackle Matt Pryor, not the pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Well, hey, you know what?
You know what? If they had that guy at left tackle, probably just the same, maybe a little worse. But he has been brutal at left tackle. And when you've got Matt Ryan that is not going to be able to create anything with his legs or throw a defender off, that you can just simply get after the quarterback where he is, because that's typically where he's going to be when you get there, that's an issue. And so, before this year, that guy started one game at left tackle in his previous 3 years. And this year he's the starting left tackle, and he has not been good as that starting left tackle. And so pass blocking grade of 53 so far this year. This is a game that I talked with Craig about, and I'll be like, this feels like a pressure percentage for the Chiefs sacks matching what the pressure percentage has been. Because they're third in pressure rate, the Chiefs are this year. And they've got a total of 5 sacks.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a theme that we've seen from this Chiefs team the last couple of years. Why are they pressuring so well and not bringing the quarterback down? I don't know. I'm hoping this weekend is the sacks match the pressure rate of the Chiefs. If not, then yeah, there's some issues of why are they putting pressure on the quarterback and not being able to bring the guy down or sack the guy? Because that's been the theme. And they've been doing it with only bringing 4 guys. I mean, the Chiefs are the 5th best pressure rate team when they only rush 4. And they're going up against an awful offensive line. So whether it's 5-man pressures that Deontay Lee was talking about that the Colts struggle against, well, Spags has been able to pressure the quarterbacks with 4-man pressures. He certainly has exotic blitzes, but he's had other blitzes where you think 5 or 6 guys are coming and 2 of them drop back and you've got 4.
And if it ends up being 5, Leo Chanel can do that.
That's true. Yep.
Brian Cook can do that. Mm-hmm. These are places where maybe they can, you know, not feel the deep loss of Willie Gay as much as they're going to feel it at other times over the course of this 4-game stretch.
I love that Deontay Lee was like, well, you know, some people, you can just look at the box score and say, Jonathan Taylor, why didn't he do this? Why didn't he get that many carries? I'm like, I feel triggered. why are you speaking straight to me since we literally did that earlier this week? Like, we're going through the play-by-play, like, Jonathan Taylor doesn't touch the ball. Matt Ryan again. He's like, yeah, people can go through that, but they're not watching the game flow of what's going on.
That's not why I picked that clip. I forgot we had that conversation.
Guilty, Deontay. No wonder he's not responding to beers. Like, I'm not talking to some dude that just looks at
Jason? No, thank you.
Play-by-play on a piece of paper like he understands football. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue. Todd Lebo, Lee Sterling next.
Who's going to win and by how much? You're about to find out from National Sports Handicapping Champion Lee Sterling on The Zone. Log on to ParamountSports.com or call toll-free 800-400-9741 to get started.
It is a Red Friday on Sports Radio 810 WHB on The Zone here. Time to talk to Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. Lee, so people have had such fun in the last month legally gambling in the state of Kansas, and I know you've always enjoyed this stuff. A lot of fun, and you've got a great special this week for us.
Yeah, and we had a huge response last week from the listeners and feeling good about themselves. We had the Baker's Dozen. That was widely successful. Started off Saturday. I mean, we went 6-2, so let's continue this week. If they want to get involved, we have a special. It's called the 6-Week Super Saver Package. Normally, we sell a month for $397, and once in a while, we'll add, you know, a week extra. I'm adding 2 weeks. I'm in such a good mood. I know if everyone signs up from now through October 31st and they win, they're going to want to ride with me through the Super Bowl. So 6 weeks to October 31st, just $397. And this is my phone service where you get every single game rated from 10 to 50 units. And like I said, we've won 5 of the first 6 weeks. So let's keep rolling. This is a way everyone can get involved with, follow other teams. Pretty much every team in the region is doing well and has big games coming up this weekend. So you're going to want to watch it. You're going to want to bet on it. Well, why not win on it?
Exactly. All right, Lee, let's talk about some games. These aren't necessarily on your service, but they're the games that we want to talk about around here. Missouri Tigers on the road getting a touchdown at Auburn. These are two teams that are a little bit of a mess right now.
They are. And then on top of that, Tigers quarterback T.J. Finley, who has not fared well, he's going to be out with a shoulder injury. That could be a good thing for Auburn, but you know, I'm watching their backups. I don't see it. Brian Harsin, probably the odds-on favorite to get fired next. How bad have things been there? Their only cover the last 8 games was Alabama and the Iron Bowl. Are you kidding me? They're -8 in turnover margin. Their defense doesn't have a takeaway on this entire season. They barely beat San Jose State 24-16. Now, Missouri is not a runner like Penn State, but they have weapons at receiver, and they can run those bubble screens and, you know, quick slants, and they just move the ball a little bit differently. Auburn's offense is absolutely atrocious. This is a team in turmoil. Wrong team favored. Missouri wins outright 26-23.
That'll make some Missouri fans happy for sure. All right, Kansas State, tough one at home last week, losing outright to Tulane. That shocked a lot of people. They're nearly a 2-touchdown underdog on the road at Oklahoma, who was very impressive last week in Lincoln.
Yeah, and started off not so good, but then they figured it out. This might be the best Oklahoma defense that we've seen this decade. I mean, defensive coaches, great game planning. Kids are playing with emotion. They're getting to the ball here. And here's the problem for Kansas State. Now all of a sudden, I think people are figuring them out. Adrian Martinez is who we thought he was. And the offense for Oklahoma, boy, are they rolling. Weapons all over the place. When Dillon Gabriel gets rolling, look out. He's one of the top five quarterbacks in college football. He gets the ball to the playmakers. They hurry up. This is going to be a big problem. I know all the last three games, these two teams have been played close, but sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it. Oklahoma big, 45-21.
Yeah, we'll see how long the Adrian Martinez experiment goes with Kansas State. He's got to open it up and try to get some more big plays down the field. A little too close to the line of scrimmage right now. All right, so the Kansas Jayhawks have impressed everyone. They're 3-0 for the first time since Mark Mangino was the coach. People are taking notice. They're sold out at home for Saturday. It's family day as well. They're sold out. People are buying tickets. Duke is coming in. Duke's sneaky undefeated as well. Kansas is a favorite for the first time in a Power 5 game since, I think, 2009. Can they cover 7 points?
And it's not a fluke right now. Let me tell you something. They beat two quality teams that I believe that will be in bowls in West Virginia and Houston. They have the 10th-rated rushing offense. They're 5th in overall yards per play. Jalen Daniels averaging 8.1 yards per pass attempt with 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. Usually their quarterbacks are in the 4 to 5 yards per pass attempt range. And Duke defense, number 14, but haven't faced a team that can run and pass. And that's the problem here. Northwestern put up 511 yards but had 3 turnovers. Duke only beat Temple, NC A&T, and then also, as I mentioned, Northwestern. I like their quarterback, Riley Leonard. I just have reservations about the rest of the team. I like Kansas by double digits, 45-30.
All right, let's talk a little National Football League. I guess it's the geriatric bowl here, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Tampa is hosting at home. They weren't impressive last week. They found a way to get a win, and that's what Tom Brady does. They're 2-0, and the Packers are coming in.
And he was down 2 receivers, Chris Godwin and Julio Jones. He could be down 3 here. Godwin and Jones may not be healthy enough to play. And now Mike Evans, unless he wins, you know, his appeal, he's not playing here. You know, he lost Gronk. That's a loss. His offensive line somehow has been able to piece it together and hold on. But now they're going to face, I think, a better defense than even New Orleans and Green Bay. They have no holes. They're getting back. Possibly their entire line could be healthy. And Aaron Rodgers starting really to develop some cohesiveness with the receivers here. Wrong team favorite. I like Green Bay outright, 27-20.
All right, and the Chiefs are on the road here against a team. And this is the fun part for the Chiefs fans. They've had a quarterback, right? You got Patrick Mahomes. Before that, whatever, you had Alex Smith. It was great, fine, for what they needed. The Colts are on the little hamster wheel with quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Every year, let's find a new old quarterback. And they were really bad last week getting shut out. Are they going to have anything? Is this a trap-type game for the Chiefs who are favored on the road?
It could be. Now, listen to this stat. Since 2010, teams 0-2 straight up and against the spread, 55-40. That is a really strong thing to go against here. And what they're going to do, I think they're going to line up in heavy run sets here against this Chiefs defense, who's pretty much been able to stay in base nickel for most of the first two games. Cardinals and Chargers were both pass-heavy, 63 and 67% passes against them. And Colts beat Kansas City the 2019 Super Bowl season in Kansas City with Jacoby Brissett, who is far worse than Matt Ryan here. In that game, they had a 45-29 run-pass split, had 180 rushing yards here. Calling for the upset here. Hate to say it, but I like Indy, 30-27.
Ooh, now you're not making people happy, Lee.
No, I got to call like I see it.
So yeah, exactly right. That's the way you do it.
First couple weeks, and just might be a small hiccup.
Yeah, you don't bet with your heart, that's for sure.
No.
All right, you've got a game of the week in the Lone Star State and a great special.
Yeah. How about this? Texas and Texas Tech, one of the great rivalries. I think I can put you on the right side. Just call 800-400-9741. Again, the number 800-400-9741. And what, like I said, this is one of the best specials. We've never had this before. Not 4 weeks for $397 or even 6 weeks through October 31st, just $397. This is my executive phone service. You want to get on board? Just go one place, ParamountSports.com.
All right, that's Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. Good luck this weekend, Lee. More Zone next, coming up on a Red Friday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.